Welcome back on WTMJ. Sorry, I was letting that ride a little bit. Thanks, Jaslyn. Appreciate that. I'm Tracy Johnson, in for Steve Scafidi on this Wednesday. Wow, that was a action-packed half hour with Jay Curtis. And now we are joined by Brian Jacobson, chief economist from Annex Wealth Management. Brian, you are no stranger to this station or this show. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it is definitely an honor. Thank you.
All right, so where do we start? I mean, tariffs, taxes. What's going on in the economy today after the president's remarks and after the tariffs just took effect hours ago?
That's right. Yeah. So beginning Tuesday morning, we had the tariffs against Canada and Mexico officially going into effect, and then 20% tariffs on Chinese goods also going to an effect. And I think it's important to remember that these tariffs are for a very particular agenda item of the president, which is to deal with immigration and fentanyl. Now, the other tariffs that might be coming, those are scheduled to go into place, one, on March 12th. That would be on steel and aluminum, and then probably April 2nd or later. That's more, I think, his longer term policy in terms of what are called reciprocal tariffs. So basically, if they tax us, we will tax them to try to level the playing field a little bit. But the ones that went into effect, it took, I think, a lot of people by surprise that it actually happened, mainly because there was a lot of thought on Wall Street that the parties, so whether it was the president of Mexico or the prime minister of Canada, that they were in constant communication with President Trump to try to come to an agreement that they're either doing enough or promising to do enough as it relates to border security. And apparently it wasn't quite enough. And that's why the market had the reaction it did.
But when I talk to manufacturers, some business leaders have been saying that this has been a long time coming. We have been trying to onshore for years and years and years, but our general policy just hasn't mandated it. Now it's like, okay, guys, we're doing this.
That's right. Yeah, you can use sticks or carrots, right, in terms of trying to encourage people to do things. The stick approach is about the tariffs. The carrot approach would have been things like, you know, subsidies, tax deductions, things like that. And I think a lot of businesses, especially in the automotive sector, they really viewed the NAFTA, so the North American Free Trade Agreement from 1994, which was then renegotiated by President Trump in 2018, so the U.S.-Mexico Canada agreement, where that basically, I think in their mind, created this unified, almost borderless world in North America, where it was fine for them to, as long as they were abiding by the terms of the agreement, to set up shop in Canada, Mexico, and the United States and have their production lines go across those borders almost seamlessly. And I think that that's really what has taken some people by surprise, is that there hasn't been some sort of carve out or exemption, just because they've been relying on basically, you know, 30 plus years of precedent here as far as policy. And then to change that on a dime really took them by surprise. And President Trump did make reference to that last night in his address to Congress, saying that he has spoken to the leaders of the big three automakers. And then Howard Lutnick, his commerce secretary, mentioned this morning that there's likely going to be some sort of agreement so that it's not quite as disruptive as what it might seem to be at the moment.
So we heard a lot about tariffs last night, but we also heard that there would be a kind of a movement to unburden companies by getting rid of regulatory, a more stringent regulatory environment. So doesn't this kind of work in concert with making it easier to do things here in America? And that eventually will be good for businesses here and job creation.
Yeah, this is almost an all of the above approach to policymaking in terms of the sticks and the carrots, right? So you have the stick in terms of tariffs saying, okay, make it here or else. And then you have the carrot approach, which is in terms of, look, we're going to create a very hospitable environment as opposed to a hostile environment for businesses in terms of regulation, taxes. You can maybe depreciate, the equipment when you put it into place. And so it really is this all of the above approach. And the problem, though, I think, is that those deregulation and the tax things are still not quite put into place, right? You're getting almost the stick first and the carrot is coming later.
Yeah, that's interesting, the timing of all of that. Speaking of timing, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be watching for a few things, and we talked about this yesterday. You've got the Fed meeting coming up. You've got the CR vote coming up. You've got the budget reconciliation bill coming up. How do you see all of this playing out and the timing and not even the politics of it, but how is the market going to react?
Yeah, it could be one of those things where, you know, March, is it's supposed to come in like a lion and go out like a lamb or vice versa. So it kind of flips. And maybe that's the same thing here, is it's come in like a lion. Maybe it'll go out like a lamb, because we do have March 14th is the deadline for a continuing resolution to continue funding the government. There is the budget resolution that the House of Representatives passed. They're negotiating with the Senate. Maybe they could bundle that all together, lift the debt ceiling as well. That would be a positive. And now I think the wild card here is, what is the Fed going to do? They've already signaled that they're on pause for now. Their next meeting is March 19th, and they're probably not going to change their stance as far as what they're going to do, but they're releasing their projections about how now are these proposed tariffs likely to affect growth and inflation, because they have a particular worldview about what it means for growth and inflation, and they're going to set their policy based on that worldview. Sounds like they are viewing this as slightly inflationary. And so my worry is that they're going to take somewhat of what we would call a hawkish stance with monetary policy and say, hey, we're going to hold and hold for a while until we see the full shakeout of these tariffs and the effects on inflation.
Well, and the timing of that, like you said, is all happening here in March. And, you know, all of that also is going to impact what happens with the elections. We have a very important election here in Wisconsin. And whether we like it or not, what happens on a national level, it trickles down to what's happening here. Brian Jacobson, Annex Wealth Management, that is a great take. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit closer to home, and that is data centers and what's happening here in Wisconsin with Microsoft and all the data center development. I think you've got a great perspective you can share with us. Also, we heard some news that Microsoft is making some changes to their leases. Does that impact our economy? It's 9:43 on WTMJ. I'm Tracy Johnson, in for Steve Scafidi. Welcome back on WTMJ. I'm Tracy Johnson, in for Steve Scafidi. Brian Jacobson with Annex Wealth Management joining us. So the way I found you, Brian, is not only because you have lots of great things to say about the economy, is you had made a comment last week about data centers in Wisconsin when Microsoft made the announcement about their lease. And this is an area that I'm very familiar with, working in commercial real estate. We're seeing so much news about data centers, data center here, data center there. Why is this happening right now in Wisconsin?
Well, I think the biggest reason is because you've got that great development going on in southeast Wisconsin that's being funded by Microsoft. It's the about $3.5 billion data center that's going up in the village of Mount Pleasant. And I think some people are kind of wondering, are they going to pull a Foxconn? That's been one of the things that I've heard before in terms of, right, they went in there, big development, but they ended up having to pivot to something else, something somewhat smaller. And now there has been a few reports coming out of Wall Street saying, have we gone too far with building data centers? There was a particular research report that was put out by a firm called TD Cowen. So they do a lot of analysis of businesses. They don't work at those businesses, right? So they are outsiders looking in. And what they noticed is that Microsoft, they canceled their leases on two data centers. And that raised some concerns about, oh, are they pulling back on their commitment to data centers? And what does this mean now for that development down there in the village of Mount Pleasant? And I think my perspective on it is that it's kind of like, if you are a firm and you are growing, you have your own facility, sometimes you contract out some of the manufacturing that you can't do in-house, maybe because you don't have the capacity. You're going to try to build into it over time. And I think that really what's happening is that Microsoft is committed to doing the data centers. It's just they'd rather own it rather than continually leasing it, especially since given the demand for data centers, those lease terms, that can be pretty pricey for those companies.
Well, and those data centers, we're seeing not only Southeast Wisconsin, but also in Port Washington. We just heard some news of the land assemblage up in Port Washington. But, you know, why is this happening? Is it because the push for AI? And what does this mean for the economy? Because local residents aren't so excited about this sometimes because there is such a draw on resources and infrastructure.
Well, yeah, these things consume a lot of electricity. And if you just think about any big development, there's always kind of, I think, some skepticism for the people who live there, the insiders, as far as their view about, oh, I don't want this in my backyard. Maybe I do want to have that type of resource, but I don't want it right next door. Right. So I totally understand that. And that's actually why a lot of these data centers are trying to locate in areas that aren't heavily populated, but that they're also closer to sources of energy. Some of them are trying to locate actually almost on site with some of the electricity generating capabilities. And that's one of the big things. These are for artificial intelligence. Now, data centers can be used for other purposes, but the big push now is because of the huge demand that's out there for artificial intelligence, both for making these models that are used to answer different questions and also then for what the different applications that can be built on top of them. So I think that this is a long-term trend. We're probably only 2 years into a build-out that some estimate could continue to grow at a rather rapid pace for the next 10 to 15 years. And so Wisconsin is, I think, in a good position in terms of land availability, climate. You also have highly skilled workforce to work on these and also to service them. And then the electricity generating capability. You know, these data centers are basically going to be working with We Energies and local electricity generating providers in order to build the capacity so it's not such a huge drain on residential and commercial needs for electricity.
Well, and there's a lot of concern, too, though, that there won't be enough power and enough energy. So you're seeing a lot of that discussion take place at the local level and the statewide level. One other interesting thing, you spoke about location and trying to locate by these energy sources and labor pools, but also with relation to water, because it takes a lot of water to cool these generators and to keep these facilities up and rolling.
Well, absolutely. And one of the interesting technologies that they're kind of been experimenting with is, can they actually make these underwater? That's maybe more pie in the sky at the moment, but it could become a reality at some point, is that because you do have to cool these things. Like if you think about your laptop computer, if you set it on your lap for too long, it gets a little hot, right? Imagine that scaled up just, you know, by millions, if not billions of times that in terms of the amount of heat. And so these things need to be cooled. And actually, local manufacturers are benefiting because they have technology to provide the cooling systems for this. So I think that really shows how this isn't just about bringing in money from Microsoft. They're going to plop in this data center. They're going to bring in their own people. There's a whole ecosystem and the interconnections as far as how it is that area businesses can benefit from really fostering the development of these data centers here.
Well, yeah, and as someone who works in commercial real estate, you know, that's the other thing we look at, right, is what are all the adjacent industries and what not only the other companies that will co-locate, but all of the housing that will be required. And what does that mean for our economic development community, our tax base, and all of that? Brian Jacobson, thank you so much for sharing your insights. I want to give you a chance to plug. You had a webinar coming up with Mr. Scafidi in the next couple days.
We are incredibly excited that next week, Tuesday, so March 11th from 1 to 2 o'clock, we are teaming up with Steve Scafidi to do a webinar on tariffs and how they could affect portfolios. So we're going to start with the macro and get down into the markets. And with all the tariff news, we figure it was about time to bring some clarity to the topic.
I appreciate your expertise. Brian Jacobson, Annex Wealth Management, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.